Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU and 88.5 WMUB. I'm Mark Purcell. Caradwyn Terrell is an associate professor of science, writing, and environmental journalism at Concordia University in Portland, Oregon. Several years ago, she adopted a wolf dog, part husky, part gray wolf, to be her protector and fellow traveler. Her book, Part Wild, One Woman's Journey with a Creature Caught Between the Worlds of Wolves and Dogs, chronicles the experience. And this morning, she talks with Thane Maynard.
Caradwyn Terrell, welcome to the show. Thanks for spending a few minutes.
Thank you for having me, Thane. It's a pleasure to be here.
You know, your book really is terrific on a lot of levels. I'm, of course, a zoologist, but also a dog lover. And since you're an English professor, it's also well-written. You know, there's a lot of books about animals, but they may not actually tell the story as well.
Well, thank you. Yeah, it's been a journey to write this and to get the story out there and to talk about these animals that truly need some attention.
So tell us a bit of the background and actually what the title means, Part Wild.
You bet. Well, Part Wild, to start with the title, really refers to the animal that I lived with, an animal part wolf and part dog, and literally part wild, because she really had behaviors that were nothing like a domestic dog. So she had some dog qualities, but the wolf qualities that she exhibited were really qualities that would be more associated with a wild animal, an animal that is suited to life not with people, but outside of human society altogether. Those behaviors including things like prey drive, very, very high prey drive, the desire to never be confined or contained, including being on a leash, was quite terrifying to her at times. And any kind of changes in her environment were terrifying. Whereas, you know, a dog is very comfortable. As long as its person is with it, it's quite a comfortable animal. Mm-hmm. So, you know, these kinds of things were really where the title Part Wild came from, because it was living with a part wild animal.
Well, when you talk about a strong prey drive, did that make it difficult when you ran into other dogs?
Yes, it made it difficult. That was more of an exhibition of territorial behavior on her part. And her name was Inyo. And Inyo really, you know, the prey drive was most heightened when it came to other people's pets, like cats in particular, but mostly livestock issues.
Mm.
So when she was driven to escape from the enclosures that I had for her, she would immediately go in search of, let's say, the neighbor's goats or the neighbor's cows. And for her, those animals, she didn't understand, you know, these are not animals that I'm supposed to be messing with. And really, for me, it was so important and a big responsibility for me to tell this story, because every time she would get into trouble, what people would remember saying is the word wolf. They would never remember the dog part.
Mm-hmm.
They would only remember the word wolf. And frankly, wolves in the wild need as much help as they can get. So particularly where I live in the West, wolves, their livelihood is threatened constantly. And so for her to get into trouble out there was a real detriment to wild wolves. And I had to realize that level of responsibility in taking on this animal, what I was getting myself into, was something that was way over my head.
Well, and I know a good way to start somewhere between an argument and a bar fight in the Northwest is to even bring up wolves. They're back now in Oregon, I understand, and of course, quite a stronghold in Idaho, Montana, and Wyoming.
Absolutely. Yes, we have a healthy number of wolf packs in Oregon. But as you put it, you know, you can get into a serious bar fight with people discussing them, because many, many people feel that wolves have been foisted upon them out here in the West, and they don't want them. There are others, of course, who are very excited to have wolves back in the landscape and understand the ecological role that wolves play, but it is highly contentious. And, you know, we've got a wolf, Oregon 7, we've named him Journey, and he's been traveling all over as a lone wolf, gone to California, made an appearance in Nevada, come back to Oregon, gone back and forth across the border. And, of course, people all over the world are following this wolf because it's quite a story. But, you know, we still put so much of our imaginations and hopes and fears on wolves. And so, you know, they're a polarizing animal. But the more we understand about them, the better our experience of them will be. And so I spent a lot of time in the book talking about real, true wolf behavior, because so much of, you know, the reason why people have wolf dogs is because they misunderstand true wolf behavior. They think it's just bringing, quote, a little bit of wildness into the dog, a little bit of extra athleticism, a little bit of extra independence. It is so much more complicated than that. I mean, these animals have such different hormone levels. They have different brain chemistry. Dogs have higher levels of serotonin, and wolves have higher levels of cortisol, which is that fight or flight hormone. They don't like any kind of change. It's terrifying to them, whereas the dog has got that serotonin, which is that relaxed and chill-out hormone. Lets them just sort of lay at your feet while you're working at your desk. A wolf dog, most wolf dogs will not do that. You know, and there in Ohio, you have this whole new exotic animal law that's been upheld in the courts, and it's really interesting to read the list of animals and realize that, that wolf-dog hybrids have been excluded from the dangerous animal list. And gray wolves are included, but hybrids are not. And I find that quite fascinating and a real pickle.
So what is it you tell people when they get into that idea about how pretty your dog was?
Yes, that's a great question. And people do all the time. And, you know, what I say is, if I had known what I know now through all this research, all this traveling, seeing these animals in these sanctuaries that are full all over this country, full to the brim, and people getting calls every day and having to say, no, I can't take your animal, I'm sorry, good luck. And also people setting their animals loose in the wild, thinking they'll go join a wild wolf pack, which is ridiculous. I say to them, when they get this fantasy look in their eyes about wanting to own a wolf dog, I say, you know, the best thing for you to do is to volunteer at a sanctuary, see what these animals have to go through, and how hard it is for them to negotiate the different parts of themselves and the genetic crapshoot that's involved in their DNA. You know, they cannot help these behaviors, their drives. And I say to them, volunteer at a sanctuary and then go to the pound and rescue a very nice mixed breed dog that needs a home, because there are some very nice dogs out there. We have thousands. And there is absolutely no reason to go backwards and get an animal. We've spent thousands of years getting the dog.
Exactly.
To get this companion that can live with us on our terms. Why go backwards and introduce this genetic wildness back into the dog genome? And I say, don't do it. I had to learn some very hard lessons. And so my responsibility in writing Part Wild was to say, look, do not do what I did, and here's why. And some people really listen, and other people, of course, you know, they really believe what they want to believe, and it's hard to convince them otherwise. But, you know, I really try to talk to people and bring the science into it, Thane, because the science is really how to help people understand, really explaining that, not just saying, don't do it, but here's why. Here's why it's so hard on these animals, and it's why it can be dangerous to the public.
Absolutely. And yet your advice of them going to these sanctuaries where they have these wolf dogs and seeing both those conditions and the fact that how difficult it can be, I bet that has a lot of converts who say, oh, I see what you mean now, because this is different. And as you pointed out, in America, there are millions of adoptable rescue dogs. We have a rescue dog at our house. It's the nicest mixed breed dog you ever saw in your life. Just wonderful. And, of course, no trouble at all. So I bet you hear from people later who say, man, I'm glad you sent me out there, because I learned the error of what I was about to do.
I get letters from people who express that very thing. And what they tell me is, I get it now. I see the pacing that these animals do back and forth, because wolves are designed for constant movement. They can't help that. They want to be on the go all the time. They see sometimes self-mutilation from the stress, from having been born into a world they didn't ask to be brought into and having to negotiate the wolf and dog side of them. They see that. They see some animals who are doing okay in the sanctuaries, and thankfully the animal found a sanctuary. But they also then tell me, I get it about how many animals are out there in need of placement that will never find it.
Well, listen, Caradwyn, thanks for spending some time with us. As I said, I think your book is terrific. And hopefully folks that are listening will read it. instead of going and getting a hybrid wolf dog.
Thanks so much, Thane. And, you know, your listeners can go to my website, myurbanwild.com, if they want to see video from Part Wild.
Great. All right. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Thane.
My guest has been Kara Dwin Terrell, author of the new book, Part Wild. For Cincinnati Edition, I'm Thane Maynard.